Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak about how once again we have to say, I told you so, in regard to Barack Hussein Obama. Just look at who he has appointed for Secretary of State and who he appears to be ready to appoint as Secretary of Defense. The two most important positions, certainly in regard to foreign policy and in regard to Israel. When it comes to Secretary of State, he appointed Senator John Kerry, who is just an evil, vicious, disgusting left-wing elitist of the worst type. And John Kerry's paternal grandparents were named Cohen, Cohen. In other words, his paternal grandparents were self-hating Jews who converted outside the Jewish faith and abandoned Judaism and tried to hide the fact that they were Jewish. John Kerry always tried to hide his Jewish background and the fact that he had Jews as relatives in his background and that his paternal family really is Jewish. And so you see this ugly self-hatred, this anti-Semitism, and it plays itself out with John Kerry's anti-Israel positions. John Kerry condemns Israel and demands that Israel commit national suicide. John Kerry is an appeaser of Muslim terrorist Iran and refuses to support taking the only action that can stop Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which is military action. And so we have now a Secretary of State who's going to be taking power. Not that Hillary Clinton was better. She was also an anti-Semite. She was also a vicious enemy of Israel. But now we've got one who's going to be taking the reins of office at the State Department, who has this self-hating desire, even though according to the Torah and according to Halakha, he's not a Jew. But he feels he has some Jewish blood in him, and he has this self-hating desire to destroy that blood, to burn any bridges with that background, this sick self-hating desire. That's what John Kerry represents, just like Madeleine Albright. She was Secretary of State under the Jew haters Bill and Hillary Clinton, and she always pretended she wasn't Jewish. She knew she was Jewish. She hid the fact that she was Jewish, and then she said she was surprised to find out when some researcher discovered that she was Jewish. Oh, come on. She always knew she was Jewish. So these disgusting, self-hating creatures who try to leave the Jewish faith, who try to leave the Jewish people, who are ashamed and embarrassed to be Jewish, they are the worst enemies of the Jewish people. They're the worst enemies of Israel. And that's what John Kerry represents. That's one of the reasons why we opposed him when he ran for president in 2004. We hated George W. Bush. George W. Bush was a monster. He was a terrible president. He was a complete fraud and a sellout. But John Kerry, because of this self-hating Jewish background, Cohen in his family, would have been even worse, believe it or not. Anyway, he's going to be Secretary of State now. And for Secretary of Defense, it appears as though Barack Hussein Obama is getting ready to pick a Nazi Jew hater named Chuck Hagel, who is the most vicious anti-Semite you can find in Washington. This is someone who is not only constantly condemning Israel, someone who's constantly demanding that Israel commit national suicide. This is someone who is not only against any military action with Iran, he doesn't even want to fake it. Some people fake it, like Obama fakes it and pretends that it's still on the table, the military option is still on the table. According to Chuck Hagel, it shouldn't even be on the table. He doesn't even think it should be considered, at least from his past statements. And Chuck Hagel was opposed even to sanctions on Iran. He was one of the few senators who even opposed sanctions on this Muslim terrorist fanatic country that has murdered thousands of Americans, that is building nuclear bombs, that is promising to annihilate Israel, And that's promising to perpetrate a Holocaust against the American infidels as well. And he didn't even think economic sanctions should be imposed on this monstrous regime that is developing weapons of mass destruction. Even sanctions, that was too much for him. And it's no accident that Barack Hussein Obama wants to pick him as Secretary of Defense. Because Barack Hussein Obama was against sanctions. Barack Hussein Obama diluted every single sanctions bill that was placed before him. Every time the Senate and the House passed bills imposing sanctions on Iran, Barack Hussein Obama deliberately diluted all of those sanction bills. And so we have here a situation where we have an administration, Obama as president, a Muslim Jew hater as president, self-hating. He's not a Jew, but he feels he has some Jewish background and he wants to burn his bridges and just hates everything about the fact that he had some Jewish background. He desperately wants to show how he's an Irish Catholic. He's not an Irish Catholic. But he desperately imitates John F. Kennedy, by the way. John F. Kerry is his name, JFK, like John F. Kennedy. Desperately imitates the Kennedys, desperately wants to be just like the Kennedys, tries to sound like them, tries to mimic them, tries to use the same expressions they use. I mean, he is a grotesque individual. And him, with Obama in the White House, and him at the State Department as Secretary of State, and then it appears Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense, unless something happens, God willing, to derail that nomination. I mean, this is really what we warned about. And Obama hasn't even been sworn in yet for his second term, and there's an Israeli election on January 22nd, so they don't want to start squeezing or pressuring Israel before the election, because that might lead to a backlash among Israeli voters. At least they're afraid of that. But you see already, things are being set up in a very dangerous way. This is very dangerous in terms of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which Iran is close to completing, and nothing is happening, and Netanyahu does not have the guts to take action, and they don't want to take action. And the plan to get Israel to commit suicide by creating a so-called Palestine state and go back to suicidal borders, that they will actively pursue. And so we've got some very, very serious threats on the horizon. Just as we warned about. Netanyahu announced before the election that he's going to build 3,000 more homes in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Big deal. Big deal. They should be building hundreds of thousands of homes. They should move 2 million or 3 million Jews there and move all the Arabs out. He's going to build 3,000 homes, big deal, which will never even be built. He promised this several years ago also and stopped it because Barack Hussein Obama didn't like it. When Obama tells him not to do it, he all of a sudden backs down because Obama got angry. Obama started swinging from a tree and screaming at him not to do it. Anyway, so even this is a bluff. All a bluff. Everything they do is a bluff. Israel's in a lot of trouble. And America, of course, is in a lot of trouble. Of course, America is in a lot of trouble. I mean, what's the future of the United States going to be like? Obamacare, socialism, massive budget deficits, huge national debt, and the growing third world majority that we saw in the past election. We saw the growing strength of these groups that are becoming bigger and bigger, and America, the real America, the America that the people that made America great, they're becoming a minority in their own country. They're disappearing. They're being swallowed up. And nobody takes action. Nobody moves against this. There's no mass movement to fight this. There's no mass concern. Everybody goes along with it. That's a sure sign that America is finished. When the American people are calmly going about their business and continue, even though Obama was reelected and these insane, evil, suicidal policies are being implemented, and everybody's going along with it like it's nothing, apathetically, indifferently. That's the end of that's that truly is the mark of an empire that's falling, that's going to fall. That's the mark of inner decay and decadence that will lead to the destruction of the United States of America. It's coming. Unless something happens to wake the American people up, America's finished. America's finished. I guarantee you, when the third world people become the majority in this country, they're already 36, 37% of the population. When they become the majority or even close to the majority, it's over. Then it's over. America will not be the country that people knew before. It'll be a nightmare. I mean, America will become a nightmare. And that is happening quickly. America's quickly moving in that direction. Do any of the Republicans dare to speak about this? No, the opposite. The Republicans, just like the Democrats, say we got to open borders. We got to show that we're going to get the Hispanic vote by opening borders. That's how you get the Hispanic vote. First of all, I have nothing against Hispanics, and Republicans should try to get votes from Latinos, but not on the basis of letting America be flooded with third world illegal aliens who want to destroy American culture. That should not be the basis of the appeal to Latino voters or any other group of voters. And so we see this very, very terrible situation unfolding unless people wake up. Now, I know that the Jewish people eventually will wake up because the Bible says they will. Eventually the Jewish people will turn to righteous leaders and eventually the Jewish people will wake up. That's what the Bible and the prophets and everyone's, there's no question that it will eventually happen. But what tragedy, what horrible, terrible tragedies and death and destruction, God forbid, may occur before then to get them to wake up. That's what we want to try to avoid. That's what JTF is all about. We want to try to avoid that. We also want to try to avoid terrible tragedy for the righteous Gentiles in America. And so our goal is to wake people up. I think you, the great JTFers, understand how important it is that we get our message out, how important it is. If you agree with me that all the things I've described are very dangerous and very troubling, and that we're really headed toward a very dangerous period here, if you agree with me that this is a terrible, dangerous situation and that we must act and that we've got to wake people up and fast, then you got to join with us and do everything you can to help us spread the word. We got to spread this message and spread it as quickly as possible. And you already know what we need. We need people to help us with our English and Hebrew videos, both the English and Hebrew videos. Help us promote them on YouTube and on Facebook. Comment, favorite, like, the whole nine yards. Help us promote. Every time you see one of our videos, help us promote them. Share the videos. Help us promote them. Also, help us on our forum. Make the forum an inviting place. Don't engage in personal arguments or petty arguments. Don't write crazy things on the forum. Help make the forum an inviting place, an interesting place, provocative and interesting, but not crazy. Make it an inviting place so that new people, because we've gotten hundreds of new people who have joined, we want those people to become active. People sometimes don't want to become active on the forum. I don't know why, but we want to make it an inviting place so that people will want to become active. And the same thing on our Facebook pages. Help us with the Facebook pages. Make it interesting. Put interesting posts. Open up interesting threads, both on our forum and on Facebook. Help us with that. Because obviously if the forum grows and if our Facebook pages grow and if our videos get a lot of views, obviously that helps us spread the word, wake people up, and puts us on the path at least to trying to arouse as many people as we can. We got to try the best we can. Because if people are exposed to our message, and if lots of people see our message, if really huge numbers did see our message, if it became massive, and if large numbers of people joined us, then you know the situation would change for the better. That I can assure you will happen. If that happens, I can assure you the situation would change for the better. then we have a real fighting chance. And most importantly, you know that our pathetic budget is our number one obstacle. We need financial support as badly as possible. And our great JTFers are generously helping us on a regular basis. God bless them. God bless the great JTFers that go to our English main page, jtf.org, click on the donate button, and with their credit card, in a few minutes, it's very, very easy. Can make a donation with the credit card, very easy, very convenient. That's on the jtf.org main page. You could do it on the Hebrew main page also, hayamim.org. There are donate buttons on both main pages. Very convenient, very easy to do. God bless the wonderful people who are doing that. God bless you. God bless you and God bless your families in this world and in the next. You're helping us spread a very important message. And equally important, people who send us checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box, God bless you. Very, very important. I think everyone on our forum, everyone who follows us all of these years knows how important it is that people hear this message, how vital this message is. If only everybody heard this message, what a different world this would be. And in the meantime, we got to get as many people as possible to hear this message. Because Israel is in trouble and the knife is at Israel's throat when it comes to Iran and when it comes to the plans to try to get Israel to commit suicide. That's coming right now. That's coming. I mean, we're facing that in a very dangerous way. And America, obviously America is in great danger. Obviously. Just look at what's happening to the future of America. Just look at the demographic reality of America. Just look what America's turning into. And so I thank our great JTFers who have been helping us. We need your help as much as possible. We need people to be as active as possible and generous as possible. And I thank all the wonderful people, all the wonderful the righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles who have been helping us. I thank all of you. God bless you. And together, let's get into this fight and let's give it everything we can and let's try to wake people up. If we can wake people up in Judea and Samaria, if we can wake the young people up in Judea and Samaria to resist, and if we can create enough of a movement in Israel that will lead to resistance, that could save the state of Israel. Potentially, it could. I don't know if we'll succeed in doing that. That I don't know. But we're going to try. And in America, I don't have to tell you what needs to be done here in terms of waking people up. We need a real mass conservative movement, a real conservative movement with teeth and with guts that will fight for conservative principles uncompromisingly. Not like that sellout John Boehner and these other sellouts in Washington, but real right-wing leaders. That's what America needs. And if there's a backlash against Obama's policies, then you never know. If Obama and his policies, Obama's policies will certainly fail. So if that leads to a massive backlash, maybe we still have a shot. Let's hope so, at least. Anyway, God bless our great JTFers. Let's get in this. Let's fight together. And now let's go to our great questions from our great members, which, of course, is something I always love to do every week. And now we start with the great Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim and happy Hanukkah. Sent you a couple of private messages. You haven't responded. Is that the best way to contact you? Unquote. Chicago Jew, I don't remember getting any private messages from you. I usually try to read my private messages. Sometimes I miss here and there. I do miss some messages here and there when people send me private messages on the forum, because I get so many messages every day that sometimes I miss them. It's possible. But I don't remember getting a message from you, Chicago Jew. If I did, and if you wrote to me and you asked me to respond, you know, I do usually try to respond to people. When someone writes to me and asks me to respond, I do try to respond. So, try again. And if that doesn't work, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know why there would be a problem. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. Anyway, thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmo to Obama, who writes, and I quote, which celebrity is more disgusting to look at, Lindsay Lohan or Macaulay Culkin? Unquote. Oh, they're both horrific examples of the downfall, the decadence and the downfall of American society and American culture. All the drinking, all the drugs. I mean, how can people, young people in their 20s, I think Culkin is in his 30s already, Lindsay Lohan, she's in her 20s still. How can people who have their whole lives ahead of them and are earning millions of dollars, are famous and rich, earning huge amounts of money, earning millions of dollars, have big careers, and instead of using it to make this a better world, they use these things to drink and use drugs and become examples of the life of rodents in a sewer? They act like rodents in a sewer. I mean, just grotesque. That's something that we have to fight against if we don't want the destruction of civilized society. Anyway, thank you, Yimach Shmo, to Obama. And now we go to Yimach Shmo to Pruneface. The great Yimach Shmo to Pruneface writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, which of these pseudo-Kahanist beasts is the most evil? Michael Ben-Foni, Baruch Mamzer, and Itamar Ben-Chazir, unquote. Yimach Shmo to Pruneface, you're a wonderful person, and we all love you. You're a wonderful JTFer for years now. But this is not helpful. Okay, using these types of names, we do have differences with these people, yes. We have differences with them, but these types of attacks, this type of language and these types of attacks are not helpful. We already have problems with them smearing me and fighting, you know, I'm responding to them. And I think that they're already sending emissaries. They regret, they're already regretting what they started with me because, you know, the last thing they need is for me to do videos attacking them from the right before the election, because they have a Knesset list and they want to get into the Knesset again. And I've been doing videos exposing them for what they are, because they are phonies. But using this type of language to move from disagreement and opposition. We have differences of opinion, and we do disagree, and we don't support them. But to go from that to a campaign of outright hatred against them, I mean, of real fervent hatred against them, I don't think that we should be doing that. I don't think we should be doing that right now. And I know you mean well, and I know you're a wonderful person, but that I don't think is the right way to go. And I'm glad you asked me this question, because it gives me a chance to speak to you about it. And I know that you just want to help, and I know how loyal you are. I know when they attack me, how you want to defend me. You're very loyal, and God bless you. You're a wonderful person. But we don't want to go overboard. We don't want to overreact, and we don't want to create needless hatred. Certainly among the Jewish people, we don't want to create needless hatred. If they're outright traitors who want to give up land and support Muslim terrorists, that's a different story. Okay, these guys are phonies who are opportunists and who unfortunately have done some pretty bad things, but we don't want a campaign of hatred against them. At least I would prefer not to get into that type of campaign against them. Anyway, thank you very much, Yimach Shmo to Pruneface. And now we go to the great Kahana loyalist, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what measures can be taken to protect against infiltration by false patriots into Kahanist organizations, unquote? Well, Kahana loyalist, if I had the perfect formula, JTF wouldn't have had the problems that we've had, because we've experienced problems with people who come into the organization and are not sincere and cause problems later on. We've had this problem too. I mean, this is one of the hazards of the business. When you have an organization and you invite the public to join, there are going to be some crazy people, there are going to be some phony people who are going to join and who are going to cause you problems. That's going to happen. Of course, we want people who are sincere. We want people who join for the right reasons. One of the tests that we always had when I was running JDL, and one of the tests that we try to have in JTF, is looking at the motivation of people who join. Jews, for instance, who join should be motivated by love of their fellow Jews and love of Israel, not by hatred. And the righteous Gentiles who join should also be motivated by love of their country, love of the Bible. They should be motivated by the right things. Now, of course, that does mean that we hate evil people and we hate enemies of America and Israel. We hate evil people. But that doesn't mean that hate should be the main motivating driving force. If hate is the main motivating driving force and there isn't love, if someone doesn't feel love, if a Jew doesn't feel love for their fellow Jews and doesn't feel love for Israel, and they're only motivated by hate, that's a very bad sign. That is not a good sign. But there's no perfect formula, and we just have to try our best to work with what we've got. And you know, we've had bad people join in the past, and I'm sure bad people will join in the future, and until the Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we'll have a perfect world, and we won't be in this situation. But right now, unfortunately, these things happen, and we just have to try our best. We have to try our best to discern when something bad is going to occur. Anyway, thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And now we go to the great Saint Noda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Nazis David Duke and Mike Harris already blamed the Sandy Hook shootings on Zio-Marxist Jews. Please say some kind words," kind in quotes, "about these two animals," unquote. Well, look, David Duke and Mike Harris, or anyone else who's a Nazi, you can imagine what's going to happen to them. Think of everything they want to do to the Jewish people, how much they hate God's people. God is going to do everything that they want to do to the Jews to them many times over. So their destiny is the ultimate nightmare, the ultimate nightmare, because they're going against God's people and they're ignoring they're really not only ignoring, but defying and spitting in the face of everything God warns about and his prophets warn about in the Bible when it comes to Israel and the Jews. So you can imagine how these two are going to be roasting on the Day of Judgment. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. And now we go to the great British Sword. Good to see you again, British Sword. British Sword writes, and I quote, "Question, are we looking at, I can hardly bring myself to type this, legalized baby sex if Muslims become majority," unquote. British Sword, wherever Muslims are the majority, perversion and disgusting behavior is the norm. The founder of Islam, Muhammad, was in his 50s. He was in his 50s when he married Aisha, who was just 6 years old. I mean, this is an insane person, a sick, perverted, despicable person, a pedophile in every sense of the word. And if you read the Quran or if you read the Hadith, you see that, I mean, those books are the product of a demented person, of a sick mind. That whole religion is the product of a demented person. This is a religion and a culture of demented people. These are people who rape children, who send children in to blow people up. I mean, these are sick, demented people. Sesame Street in the Muslim world is about jihad and blowing people up and murdering the Jews and the Christians and the non-Muslim infidels. That's Sesame Street in the Muslim world. I mean, these are sick people. It is a massive culture, a huge culture of 1.5 billion people are part of a culture that the defining aspect of that culture is a religion that is the product of a demented mind. And so, of course, we see the nightmare of what occurs when Muslims become a majority somewhere. Anyway, thank you so much, British Sword. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Can you talk about the war in Beitar and also about Bar Kokhba, who was supported by Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim," unquote. Okay, great question. Bar Kokhba was a very brave and great warrior, and he was also a very devout Torah Jew, and he led a revolt against the Roman occupation of the land of Israel. The Romans not only had an occupation, they had committed genocide against the Jewish people, murdered huge numbers of Jews, and were attempting to outlaw Judaism and torturing and oppressing and committing the most brutal crimes against Jewish men, women, and children. And of course, Rome was a gigantic empire with legions from all over the world. And so Bar Kokhba decided to lead a revolt. Now, the problem, there was another revolt before Bar Kokhba, there was another revolt. But the Jews were all fighting each other. They were all busy infighting during the revolt. It was called the Great Revolt, Hamered HaGadol in Hebrew. When Hamered HaGadol took place, there were three different Jewish factions and they were fighting each other as much as they were fighting the Romans. And so, of course, the Romans won. The Romans defeated them because of that. They're so busy killing each other and fighting each other that the Romans were able to win. Bar Kokhba succeeded after that in uniting all the Jews. The Jews were united behind him. And when Harav Akiva, Rabbi Akiva saw this great ability that Bar Kokhba had, he had great military ability, he was a brilliant strategist, he was a Torah Jew, he was zealously devoted to Torah Judaism. When he saw this, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are the wise leaders of Israel, the rabbis of Israel, they proclaimed that Bar Kokhba had the potential to be the Mashiach, to be the Messiah, that he was going to be the Mashiach, the Messiah. And they were right. He could have been. He could have been the Mashiach. He could have been the Messiah. But in the end, he was not, because he wound up through his own free will, through Bechira Chofshit, which means free will, his own free will, he did things that a Mashiach, a Messiah, would never do. He did bad things that were against Judaism. For instance, he would test how brave the soldiers are. He wanted, before you joined his army, you had to pass all types of tests of physical bravery. You had to be willing to cut your one of your fingers off. You know, I mean, this is contrary to Judaism. You're not allowed to mutilate yourself. Okay, he wants to test people, that's fine, but you can't mutilate yourself. He was thousands of Jews were mutilating themselves to join his army. And then he said, you know what? He became so, after he defeated the Romans, he became so self-confident that he said to God, you don't have to help us. Just don't hurt us. Don't be against us and don't help us. We'll take care of ourselves. That's what he said to God, which was a terrible statement to make. I mean, he made a statement, as long as you don't hurt us, we can take care of ourselves. We can fight our own battle. He told God, in effect, you don't have to help us. The whole purpose of the Jewish people is to have God on their side and to show the world that there is a God and that the people of God are going to win. That's the whole purpose of the Jewish people. What he said goes against the entire reason for the existence of the Jewish people. And so that brought down terrible punishment. And then he actually suspected that a great rabbinic scholar was collaborating with the Romans. It was a false charge. He accused him falsely and wound up kicking him and killing him, which was the final straw for God. God then sent a serpent which bit Bar Kokhba, and Bar Kokhba died, and the revolt turned into chaos, and it was a disaster in Beitar, and in the end, the Romans murdered at least 500,000 Jews when they laid siege to Beitar, and at least 500,000 Jews were murdered. Some estimates that some people estimate it was even more than that, there was even 1 million Jews. It was a horrible Holocaust, a horrible slaughter. It didn't have to be that way. Bar Kokhba at first had defeated the Romans. If he had remained true to the Torah way, if he had remained true to what Rabbi Akiva and the Torah scholars had told him to do, if he had remained true to Torah Judaism, he could have been the Mashiach. And all of this would have ended and all suffering would have ended. We had an opportunity. Sometimes in history, there are points in history we believe when God is willing to bring the final redemption. There are certain points in history, this was one of them, where God actually gives us an opportunity to bring the final redemption. If we fail, then it's kicked off into the future, and then we have to wait till there's another opportunity. Unfortunately, that's what happened in this case. Anyway, thank you very much, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And now we go to Leftist Destroy the West, who always asks interesting questions. Leftist Destroy the West. He's new to the forum, but so far he's certainly been asking interesting questions. Leftists Destroy the West writes, and I quote, "How old is the earth? Should the biblical genealogy, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, genealogy, I think it is genealogy, be taken literally? Creation 4000 BC, flood 2000 BC, unquote. No, the world, well, according to the Jewish calendar, this is the year 5773. So the Jewish calendar has 5,773 years. 5,773 years. That doesn't mean that the world is 5,773 years old, even though there are, you'll find some Jews who will insist that that is what it means, but that most of Chazal, who are the rabbinic scholars that we're supposed to follow in the Talmud in Judaism, do not believe that the world is actually 5,773 years old. The world is much older than that. But we start counting from that point in history. Why is it the year 5773? Because 5,773 years ago, there was a very important event. The Bible refers to it as Adam and Chava, which means Adam and Eve. Something happened. Something happened in human history that was a turning point that created a situation where we start counting from that point. Before then, what happened before then, people were living barbaric lives and barbaric existences. And maybe there were some cultures to a certain degree in certain places. There might have been. But in the Jewish view of things, there were no real cultures, because even if you build houses and buildings and pottery and other things, but you're completely immoral and murderous and evil, that doesn't count. All the other, even if you have the most advanced technology, if you're evil, it doesn't count. The calendar starts 5,773 years ago because there was a turning point at that point. Finally, there were people who came into the world who started to fear God, know God, and become moral. That started. And so we start counting from that point on. That's when the world had real significance. Only when that happened, only when there were moral people that finally came into the world, that's when history that counts, that's when history that is important to us begins in Judaism. That happened 5,773 years ago. And that's very important because there are 6,000 years altogether before the redemption. We believe it's roughly 6,000 years. It may be a little bit more than that, but roughly 6,000 years before the final redemption, because it was 6 days for the creation, for the world to be created. It doesn't literally mean 6 days. It means six periods of time. There were 6 days for the world to be created, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. The seventh day is the redemption. So the 6 days, every day is like 1,000 years to God, it says. So each day represents 1,000 years, and we are now entering into the point where we're coming close to the 6,000-year point. We're 227 years away from the 6,000-year point. It doesn't have to continue to 6,000 years. God in His mercy can bring it sooner, or we can bring it sooner if we do the right thing in the eyes of God. But the 5,773-year date and that calendar is important, because eventually, no matter what, no matter how bad or evil thing people are, eventually, God, in His mercy, is going to bring final redemption. So, that's why there's significance to that year and that date in the Jewish calendar, but it does not mean that the world is only 5,773 years old. That does not mean that the world may be billions of years old. I don't know how old it is. It's probably billions of years. But what happened in those billions of years was not significant compared to what happened in the 5,773 years that we've just gone through, that the past 5,773 years, because the past 5,773 years is when we finally had people who believed in God, knew God, and were willing to live moral lives. That's when real history starts from the Jewish point of view. Anyway, thank you, leftists destroy the West. And now we go to the great Confederate Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of the Korean rapper PSY? Thanks and God bless," unquote. Confederate Kahanist, I can't stand him. This guy has over 1 billion views on that idiotic video that he did, which I knew nothing about even. I didn't even know anything about it. Shows how, you know, up to date I am. I didn't know anything about it until the kids on the Hebrew forum told me about it. They said, "Chaim, did you see this stupid guy?" Just unbelievable. I mean, it is, first of all, it's so, I don't know what's entertaining about it. It's just, the music stinks. The dancing is disgusting. It's boring. It's not funny. You know, I don't understand. Over 1 billion views? The most views they've ever gotten on YouTube? Over 1 billion views for that video? And this is a guy who said, "Kill those effing Yankees. Kill the Yankee daughters, mothers, daughters-in-law, and fathers. Kill them all slowly and painfully." That's what he said. He said all Americans should be killed, including the daughters, mothers, and including daughters, mothers, and daughters-in-laws, and fathers. All the Americans should be killed, and they should be killed slowly and painfully. That's the statement this animal made. Then he made a phony apology. And of course, despite this vicious anti-American hatred from this individual, Barack and Michelle Obama announced that they're going to attend. They asked the White House, the reporters asked, "Are you going to attend even though this guy said these anti-American things?" "Oh, that's no problem. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, they're going to attend this guy's concert in Washington anyway. That doesn't bother Obama." I mean, I think he's going to have a concert, in fact, on Tuesday, I think. Tomorrow he's going to be having a concert. And the Obambas are going to be attending. Of course, because they agree with his anti-American hatred. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, thank you, Confederate Kahanist. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "While there are no good choices in the upcoming Israeli election, please mention the results you especially don't want to see happen in that election," unquote. You're right, there are no good choices. They're all terrible. I think that Netanyahu and the Likud are going to win. And I don't think that's good for Israel. And I don't think the people running against them are good. I think it's awful. From all directions, it's just awful. The one thing that we can influence, that our movement in Israel can have an influence on, in my opinion, is possibly preventing phony pseudo-Kahanists from getting in. There is now a pseudo-Kahanist in the Knesset, Mikhail Ben-Ari. We don't want him to get in again. And we want to prevent people who are distorting Kahanism and who pray. I mean, Mikhail Ben-Ari praised Yitzhak Rabin. He says, "May his memory be blessed." He shakes hands with people from Meretz, which is like the Peace Now, the extreme left-wing party, shakes hands with them, gives them cookies, hands out cookies to them, blesses them with a Happy New Year, you know, Rosh Hashanah, he blesses them for Happy Jewish New Year. I mean, just, you know, this is not the behavior of a Kahanist. He is sucking up to all the enemies of the Jewish people, and we're not going to stop suicide for Israel, and we're not going to stop the surrender of Jewish land if we teach Jewish youth on the right that we can be friends and make nice to those who want to destroy their own people. You don't do that with people who support the enemies of their own people. We don't say we're going to be all friends and everything is coochie-coo with all of you self-hating Jews who support Muslim terrorists and support expulsion of Jews and who want to destroy the Jewish people. We cannot have that type of mentality. We got to make it clear that we're going to resist, we're going to fight back, and we're going to block any surrender, and we're not going to hand out cookies to you, and we're not going to praise you, we're not going to bless you the way Mikhail Ben-Ari and these pseudo-Kahanists are doing. What he's doing is damaging. So we want to prevent him from getting in again. But aside from that, I think the election results, you know, I think the Likud and Netanyahu are going to get in again, and it's going to be a continuation of the disaster that we already have. EB, the only chance we got is to wake the people of Israel up. That's our big shot, and that's what we got to do. That's our job. That we've got to do. And this election is not going to help us. After the election, we've got to wake the people of Israel up. We've got to reach them with our message and fight against any attempt to surrender land and push also, of course, for action against the Iranian nuclear threat. Anyway, thank you, E.B. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you please comment on the ongoing Arab uprisings in Syria and possibly Jordan, unquote. Well, in Syria, 44,000, they estimate, 44,000 Arab Muslims have been killed by their fellow Arab Muslims. The supporters of the Syrian dictator Hafez al-Assad fighting against the Muslim Brotherhood, al-Qaeda, people on the other side. I mean, you talk about two sides being terrible. Just horrible. I mean, just horrific. It's unbelievable. 44,000 Arab Muslims have been slaughtered by their fellow Arab Muslims in less than 2 years. That's what's happened in Syria. Now, if an Arab gets his fingernail scratched because he tries to kill Jews in Israel and a Jew defends themselves and an Arab gets his fingernail scratched, the UN is ready to condemn and hold special sessions and the whole world is hysterical. And it's on the front page of the New York Nazi Times. But 44,000 Arab Muslims are slaughtered by their fellow Muslims. And you don't see boycotts, and you don't see mass demonstrations at Syrian embassies, and you don't see on college campuses everybody speaking about how terrible Syria is. You don't see any of that. They're too busy condemning Israel, the one country in the world where Arabs do have rights, unfortunately. Arab Nazis are treated better in Israel than they're treated in any of their own countries. And that's nothing to be proud of. It's something to be ashamed of. Because you don't do that with people who want to destroy you. So that's the situation in Syria. In Jordan, I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's only a matter of time before King Abdullah is overthrown. And, you know, he's also an enemy of Israel. They're all enemies of Israel. But, you know, there are going to be tensions there. Eventually he's going to be overthrown. The Muslim world is a world where everybody stabs everyone else in the back. You know the saying, you know, this. We Kahanists have always had a saying, when you shake hands with a Muslim, you got to count your fingers. They're always stabbing, one always stabs the other one in the back, just as it predicted in the Bible. The Bible says that this is Yishmael. He'll be like a wild beast. His hand will be against his brother's hand and everyone's hand. You know, they're all going to be fighting each other, killing each other. This is what the Bible predicts. This is what was written thousands of years ago. And we see, once again, we see every word of the Torah and every word of the Tanakh, every word of the Bible, it all comes true. Thousands of years later, it all comes true. Anyway, thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank all of our great JTF members for another great show. Until next week, Shalom.